Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Welcome back. It is Friday on the Daily Tip on BetMGM Network. Hope you have a great morning. I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger coming up on the show. How about the early slate in the National Football League, including an early game on Sunday in Dublin, Steelers and the Vikings? Also, we'll see if Chelsea is still dead inside when it comes to her Titans. I know. And I'm just rubbing it in this morning. I got to lift you up and support you. I don't know if you saw this last night, but I saw this and my jaw dropped. I could not believe this take. So we know the Giants are obviously moving on from Russell Wilson for now to the rookie Jackson Dart. So on Amazon Prime's pregame show, Tony Gonzalez and Russ's former teammate, Richard Sherman, were talking about this. And they say, starting with Tony, that Russ has played himself out of the Hall of Fame.
Honestly, I hope we have. And I say that because I just looking at him and his career, his legacy, like you talked about, if ever there was somebody who played himself out of a Hall of Fame, it's Russell Wilson.
Really?
And I say that because look at what's happened ever since he left Seattle. When he was in Seattle, he was the man. He was making these good plays. He won a Super Bowl, went to two of them. But as soon as he left there, he went to Denver, signed that big old deal. They paid him $39 million to leave. He goes to Pittsburgh, plays there 1 year. There, he's out of there. Now he goes here and has three games. I just don't know if it's going to get any better. And I don't want to see him on a sideline holding a clipboard.
So you're very much under the "what have you done for me lately" thing, and taking away the first, you know, decade of his career.
Absolutely, and I just don't think he's done himself any favors since he left Seattle, and I don't know how's it going to get better.
I agree. I think you got to judge his career off when the Legion of Boom was there. He had a legendary defense, an all-time defense, and how much success he had. And then without that legendary defense, the success he had. Without that legendary defense, he's been 4-11, 7-8. 0-3 to start with the Giants. Like, he was a winning football player in Seattle, and people said, hey, winning is football player, all this good stuff, all these accolades, and now you get to go on your own and you get to prove, hey, I'm this great quarterback, I'm this guy that's going to be dominant, and it just hasn't worked out that way.
What a stupid take. I hate this take. What a monumentally dumb take. You can play yourself out of the Hall of Fame. Like, you struggle late in your career, so all of a sudden, all of the things that you did early in your career just, they didn't happen. They're gone. You wash them away. Like Bill Belichick at North Carolina, if he struggles, all of a sudden he didn't win those Super Bowls. He still won the Super Bowls. He's going into the Hall of Fame. Like Russell Wilson, it doesn't matter that he has been mediocre, maybe at best, maybe a little bit above average in Denver with New York. He still had those seasons in Seattle. He was still the first player in NFL history with 40,000 yards passing and 5,000 yards rushing. He still won a Super Bowl. He was still one of the most dynamic quarterbacks in the game that we've ever seen in the first 10 years of his career. Yeah, the second half of his career has not been great. It doesn't take anything away. And Richard Sherman, by the way, like, I understand he doesn't like Russ. That's all well and fine. You don't like Russ? Okay. But let's not act like you were out there playing offense. The Legion of Boom was fantastic. They had an incredible team. They had an incredible offense because of Russ Wilson. You want to go back to the Super Bowl? Get yourself another quarterback and make it there. It wasn't just defense. Like, all the way around, I feel like this is just stupidity, stupidity, stupidity. Just because you struggle late doesn't mean it takes away your accomplishments.
Yeah, I feel like Carissa Thompson only had the one sentence of clarity here when she said, oh, this is just going to erase the first decade of his career.
Right.
And they kept going with it. Like, what are we doing here? Because we've seen this with other quarterbacks. And if we're going to say, oh, well, if you're going to be a good quarterback, you can't have a great defense carrying you. Do you remember Peyton Manning's last Super Bowl? Peyton Manning was throwing the ball like 3 yards in the air. It was the Broncos defense that won that game. Are we going to go back and rewrite history and say, well, Peyton Manning wasn't a great quarterback at the end of his career? It was the defense that carried him. No, we're not going to say that. We're not going to take out the first part of his Hall of Fame career because of that. Also, you look at quarterbacks like Ben Roethlisberger, who was doing the same thing. Drew Brees, who felt like he couldn't throw the ball more than 10 yards in the air at the end as well. So we got to stop doing this.
Yeah, you can't put Aaron Rodgers in the Hall of Fame because he struggled with the Jets. You know what I mean? If you look at the last half of his career, he struggled with, like, it's such a stupid idea. This happens in sports all the time, by the way. Remember when Shaq played for the Celtics? You can't put him in the Hall because, you know, he barely played with Boston. Like, it's such a biased and ridiculous idea. I can't believe they actually had a full-fledged discussion about this. And, of course, again, Richard Sherman doesn't like Russ. If he wasn't well-liked, okay, fine. He didn't go out and commit a crime. Then you'd be like, okay, maybe that taints his legacy a little bit. But I just didn't get this at all.
Yeah, I feel like it was really unfair. And it sounded like selfish. Like, it came across to me as selfish that Richard Sherman would say this. Because, like, would any other player say this about his quarterback? No, it's a team game. Like, you work in complement to each other. So, like, no team's going to be like, oh, well, you know, we only got here because of our defense. No, that's a selfish thing to say, even if it is true, which, you know, the Legion of Boom was great. But still, Russell Wilson at that point was doing great things as a quarterback.
Yes.
So, like, we've got to stop rewriting history. And honestly, I thought this take made Richard Sherman just look bad.
Yeah, he hasn't exactly been a strong moral barometer over the past 2 or 3 years anyway. Russell Wilson's a 10-time Pro Bowler. He will make the Hall of Fame. Okay, Chelsea. Oh, man. Good to get that out of the system. We got some early football in Dublin, full afternoon slate. And if you want to bet on it, you got to go to BetMGM because you can go for the end zone without breaking a sweat. With a pro football no sweat token, you get your stake back in bonus bets, even if you don't win. But we plan on winning this weekend. So let's get to the early slate and let's start in Ireland. Steelers and the Vikings. The Vikings. Laying 2.5 points. Vikings minus 145. On a cold Sunday morning in a foreign country, future Hall of Famer Aaron Rodgers credited his 3-touchdown performance to a smooth pregame poop. John Facenda rolling over in his grave. Steelers, if you like the Steelers on the money line, they're plus 120. Your total is 41. I like the Vikings here. I think you're on the other side.
I am not. I don't really feel strongly about this game. This game is in my teaser, which is a different thing than taking the Steelers just in the basic line. So I do think the Steelers can keep it with an 8.5 points, especially because this game is in Ireland. I do feel like these games kind of lend themselves to chaos. So, like, these are not my favorite games to bet just because there's a lot of factors you can't control. But the overall team matters here. And I think a lot of people see this game and say, Carson Wentz, Aaron Rodgers. Wouldn't I go with Aaron Rodgers? No, the team matters. And what's wild to me is that the Steelers' defense has not been nearly as good as I think people thought they were going to be. You know, when you give up 31 to the Seahawks, you give, you gave up 32 points to the Jets despite winning that game. It's just this was a defense I thought was going to be lights out, and it's certainly not the case. So I think the Vikings can run the ball pretty effectively, and so I don't think Carson Wentz has to do too much. So I see why you'd be on the Vikings. It's not my favorite play of the week, but it is in my teaser.
Yeah, I like the Vikings a lot here. You're getting it less than 3. Jordan Addison is back this week for Minnesota, which I think is huge. And also that Brian Flores defense. I don't know if you saw that tape. And I'm not a hardcore X's and O's guy, but they showed it was a flyover look of how that defense kept adjusting when Jake Browning would step to the line of scrimmage. And they, within a span of like 7-8 seconds, went from all-out blitz, backed out, into what looked to be a cover two, and then immediately switched into another formation, which looked like it was match coverage or something. Like, it was just wild, the different looks they gave Jake Browning, and he was not good last week. Certainly, there's an upgrade with Aaron Rodgers. He's seen it all. But I like that Vikings defense. I like they get Addison back on offense, so I would lay the 2.5 with Minnesota. Okay, here we go. Here's your chance to turn things around on this Friday. Titans and the Texans. The Texans are laying 7. They are -350 on the money line. The Titans are +280, and the total is 38.5, Chelsea. Let's go, Tennessee?
No. I think the bottom line in this game is, though, that as bad as the Titans are, the Texans ain't great either. Do you really want to lay 7 points with a Texans team that's really struggled to score and really struggled to keep C.J. Stroud out upright? So I think that's my biggest question here, is that in the world of sports betting, I'm only taking a 7-point favorite if this is a premium product and this is a team that I really trust, and it just doesn't feel like it with the Texans. So I feel like 7 is too much. Does it mean I'm betting on the Titans? No, but it means that I am certainly not betting on the Texans.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with the under in this game. It's already come down from 39 and a hook, sitting at 38.5, so it's pretty low. But when I look at these two offenses, I just don't know how either of them are going to move the football. This feels like a 17-10 game. The under hits by like a point and a half. I mean, C.J. Stroud continues to regress as a quarterback, and he was not good last week against the Panthers. They were shut out. Cam Ward has to face Will Anderson in that Texans defensive front. So I'm going to lean to the under down in H-Town. Let me throw it back to you and ask if there's any game, because we have a few here, and I handicapped all of them like a total psycho. But which one stood out to you amongst the rest of the early slate?
Can I ask you about this Commanders-Falcons game? Because I feel like, sure, I have the most questions about it. Like, mm-hmm, this is a game that I don't really want to touch with a 10-foot pole, but obviously you cover the Commanders, so maybe you have a little bit more insight to this. I think it's very easy to say, oh, the Falcons are terrible. They looked terrible last week.
Yeah.
But this is a tight line, and we've seen oddsmakers be right with some of these lines. Do you believe in the Commanders this week?
I like the Falcons this week. I like the Falcons on the money line. I want to be wrong. I want to be wrong, but I think it's a good bounce-back spot for Michael Penix Jr. We think Jaden Daniels may go. He wants to go. But even if he does, I think he's going to be a touch limited. He's wearing a knee brace. He says it doesn't affect him, and he's fine. And that's, of course, what he's going to say. But the Commanders are so injured right now. Terry McLaurin has an injury, and he's trying to figure out what's going on with his, I think it's a core issue that goes down into his quad. John Bates is out. Noah Brown is out. The Falcons are really strong defensively up front. They're really young, but really good, and I just feel like this is a bad spot for Washington, so I need to see more. They were great last week against the Raiders, but the Raiders also, you know, they have no one on the offensive line. Geno Smith was swallowed up all game long. I think it's going to be different in Atlanta. Atlanta is very good on the offensive line, so I think they can have more success than Vegas did. I would actually be on the Falcons, but I'm not going to bet it.
Yeah, I think the Falcons are hard to trust in the red zone, right? Like, in the middle of the field, their offense looks amazing.
Yeah.
Like, wow, they're really moving the ball, and then they get in the red zone, and things just fall apart. So it's not necessarily a team that I'd like to trust with my money, but I understand your logic there. All right, next up for me, let's go to a total in the Chargers and the Giants. I think a lot of people will be paying attention to this game because the Chargers look like one of the best teams in the AFC right now, and the Giants are starting Jackson Dart. So that's the starting point for me. You've got a rookie quarterback making his first start in the NFL against the Chargers defense has been very good at limiting explosive plays. I think this is going to be a low-scoring affair, total of 44 in this one. I know it's 43.5 already at some other places, so go ahead and jump on that now. But we've seen this Chargers defense really put the clamps down on just about everybody. And here's the flip side. As good as Justin Herbert has been, we have seen that he can be vulnerable to opposing strong defensive lines. We saw that last week against the Broncos. He was sacked 5 times. So if there is one selling point on the Giants, it's the fact that their defensive line is actually pretty good. So I don't expect this to be a high-flying affair. I think we see a pretty similar outcome to what we saw last week, 23-20, in that neighborhood. So I'm going to go under 44.
I kind of want to lay with the Chargers, but there's too many unknowns for me. Like, I don't know how Jackson Dart is going to come out and perform. I will say this, though. If I did lean, I would lean with the Chargers, because if you look at the Chargers defense, like, by almost every metric, they are a top 10 defense, and that's the one thing that makes them dangerous, because you have Justin Herbert elevating his game under Jim Harbaugh's tutelage. Now you have a defense that can get it done, and this is just kind of panic time for Brian Daboll. Do I think it's the right time for Jackson Dart? Maybe. But Brian Daboll, he doesn't have anything else to do, right? Like, he's 0-3. Something's got to change. So it's like, yeah, put the rookie in. So I would lean Chargers -6.5. What do you think Eagles and the Bucs? What do you think about this game with the Eagles laying 3.5 down in Tampa?
Jenks, I feel like we're a pretty, like, conservative show in the fact that, like, we take a lot of favorites. And I'm not somebody who takes a lot of big swings on underdogs. I feel like this is the type of game where we always talk about where we like the underdog. We're like, oh, the Bucs are the play. They're a great team, undervalued. They're getting 3.5 at home against an Eagles team that hasn't been exactly dominant this year. But I think I'm finally going to play it. It's going to be one of my pick six plays. There is just too much to like about this Bucs team. And especially with the Eagles, they're a team that if they're ahead, they're just going to run the ball. This is not a team that I feel like is going to pile on the points here. And if anybody can do a good job of stopping the run, Todd Bowles and this Bucs defense. We've seen it already this year. So I think this Bucs team is well equipped. Plus, they get Chris Godwin back. I know Mike Evans is out, but Mika Ibuka, I think, can pick up some of the slack there. So I like him when it comes to the props. So I think I'm going to do it. I'm going to play the Bucs +3.5. Just feels right.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the Bucs have shown a lot of moxie in the past couple weeks. They had that comeback against the Texans in Houston and got a dub last week. Field goal at the buzzer against the Jets. And I mean, Mika Ibuka has been unbelievable. I think he's probably going to win Rookie of the Year. At least he looks to be the leader right now for Offensive Rookie of the Year. And the thing is that we're going to see the Eagles. They're going to have to pass in this game because the one real strength of that Bucs defense, which is a little underrated, is they are really stout at stopping the run. We've seen Saquon not quite be the back that he was last year. So if the Eagles try to run the ball on the ground, I think they're going to get stonewalled. Jalen Hurts is going to be forced to go to the air. And so, yeah, I'm with you. Give me the Bucs +3.5. That extra hook, I think, matters this weekend in Tampa Bay. Coming up next here on the show. All right, we're not even close to being done with our NFL coverage. We'll check out the afternoon games and then discuss a revenge game on Sunday Night Football with Micah Parsons returning to Big D. That's next on the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Yeah, the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. Good morning. I'm Jake, she's Chelsea. Coming up, Indiana Jones is back. And this time, he's a decent NFL quarterback. The Sunday afternoon games in the NFL are on the way, with the Colts heading out west to meet the Rams. So, I've sort of been following with some interest here the whole Tom Brady potential conflict of interest between being a minority owner and working with Fox. And I know there was that shot of him, what, a week ago, where he's in the owner's booth at the Raiders game, or maybe a couple weeks ago. But I thought it was interesting that I've sort of changed my opinion on this, because Tom has talked about it now and other coaches have talked about it, and initially was kind of seen as maybe a big deal, and now I don't think it's a big deal at all. But Tom released a sort of a statement. He has a weekly newsletter, I was not aware of this, called Do Your Job. And so he addressed this in his weekly newsletter.
Do your job.
Do your job. Do your job. Which is, of course, a perfect football thing to say, right? Do your job. You see that all the time. So he addressed this and said this, quote, "With all the success football has given me, I feel I have a moral and ethical duty to the sport, which is why the point where my roles intersect is not actually a point of conflict, despite what the paranoid and distrustful might believe. Rather, it is a place from which my ethical duty emerges to grow, evolve, and improve the game that has given me everything." A lot of flowery words. I think he's right, which is, look, I want to learn about the game. I love this game. This game has been good to me. I want to spread the gospel of the game and talk to people about what makes it great. I want to make other people great. And honestly, if you talk to other coaches, I think Ben Johnson of the Bears was asked about this. He was like, Tom will come in here. I'm not like, hey, Tom, guess what we're going to run on third down and four in the fourth quarter if we're inside the red zone. Like, I'm not telling him anything. Like, we're talking about football, but we're not giving away state secrets here. And so even the coaches interviewed say it's just not that big of a deal, and he's not breaking any rules by being, you know, in the coach's suite during games. So the more I think about it, if indeed Tom is as ethical as he says, Deflategate, I don't have a problem with it.
Or the fact that he's taking money from the Saudis now. I feel like that should be a bigger issue. But we'll stick with this one because I do think, you know, as somebody who has been on the journalistic side of things, and Jace, you can speak to this too. Mm-hmm. Like, think about it. If you're in the, like, press conferences and if you're meeting for a one-on-one interview with a coach, are you learning about, like, what plays they're calling? No, they're not going to tell you about any of that. So, like, that's the thing is that I think in a more common sense phrasing, as opposed to all these flowery words where Tom Brady looks like a superhero.
Yeah.
I think it's just the fact where you are trying to find stories and anecdotes for your broadcast as opposed to, hey, we're going to use this guy a lot more. We're going to run this play and that play and whatever, to where, you know, Kaylee Hartung is not finding out industry secrets when she's right. meeting with these coaches every week for Amazon Prime.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. If it's anyone outside of Tom Brady who has these regular production meetings, then we're not saying a thing. But, of course, Kaylee Hartung is not a minority owner in the NFL. So I understand. I totally understand the worry there. And it's important that those lines are not crossed so that some NFL team is not gaining an inherent advantage. And in this case, it's the Raiders. But ultimately, you know, during these pre-production meetings, not nearly as much is shared as I think people realize. And the more I thought about it and the more I listened to the coaches, I'm like, yeah, I don't think this is nearly the big deal that I thought it was initially.
Yeah, and plus, like, think about the coaches on the other side of things. They're not idiots. They're not just going to hand over the playbook. Like, you've got to give them more credit for saying, hey, this is Tom Brady. He owns a team in our league. Should I tell him about that new trick play that we're practicing out?
Right.
No, maybe I won't.
Yeah, maybe I'll just keep that in the bag here. So I just thought that was interesting that he addressed it, and now everyone can move forward and focus on the important thing, which is how handsome Tom is. Let's look at the late slate in the NFL and begin with the Colts and Rams. I think this is an interesting game. The Rams are laying 3.5. They're minus 190 on the money line. The Colts, plus 155. The total is 49 and a hook if you're interested in any of those numbers. Tough loss for the Rams last week in Philly. Now they go home. I cannot wait to see how the Colts perform. They haven't really played anyone. Now they have to play someone. But I feel like a lot of people are going to be on the Colts and going to keep riding that momentum that we've seen from them early in the season. Are you going to be on Indianapolis?
I don't think so. I think this is one of those wait-and-see games. Because, listen, I was down on the Colts before and said, okay, when they face a good team in the Broncos, you know, they're not going to win that one. And what they do, they won that game. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe they can keep it close. And, you know, maybe it's a game because I will say this. People talk a lot about Daniel Jones and saying, okay, we'll wait and see on him. But Jonathan Taylor is a proven commodity. I keep saying this. I understand that the more enticing story is the turnaround of Daniel Jones, but Jonathan Taylor once upon a time was one of the best running backs in the NFL. Like, yeah. It was Derrick Henry and Jonathan Taylor, 1A and 1B. So what he's doing this season is not super surprising. It shouldn't be super surprising to just about anybody. This is a good team that just needed a good trigger man behind the line of scrimmage to make those plays, and Daniel Jones has been it. But that being said, going on to the road to the Rams, a very well-coached team and somebody who, you know, Matt Stafford is really good at completing those tight window throws. But I will say this. don't you think it takes some type of a physical toll when you play the Eagles the week before? That's what worries me a bit about the Rams here.
No question. I mean, because the Eagles are just so physical. I mean, they're not running. Mm-hmm. They're still, you know, they're still operating the tush push, which takes a toll on these offensive line. It takes a toll on the Eagles linemen, you know? I mean, everyone involved, the Eagles are going to beat you up, whether you win or lose. And so, A, it's a tough game. B, got beat up. And then C, the Colts have the momentum. But I just need to see it first, because if you look at the Colts, okay, they beat the Dolphins, the Broncos, and the Titans. Best win is over the Broncos, and the Broncos aren't quite what I thought they were going to be this season, at least not yet. So I need to see more proof before I believe in Indianapolis. I'll probably stay away from this one. What about the Ravens and the Chiefs? Ravens going on the road to Kansas City. They're laying 2.5. They're minus 150 on the money line. The Chiefs are plus 125, and the total is 48 and a hook. I think I like the Ravens here. I still don't believe in the Chiefs. This is a good bounce-back spot, I think, for the Ravens. Don't they just need to come out and just get a dub, a convincing win, and the number tells you this is going to be a close game? This is more of a gut play, I think, than anything else. But Baltimore keeps hearing you can't hold leads, you can't win big games. But this is sort of a big game going into Kansas City. If you don't believe in dismissing the Chiefs, that potentially this is something that we could see later on down the line in a playoff matchup. Baltimore needs some sort of statement win or something to sort of quell all of the noise surrounding them right now, and I think they get it. I'd be on the Ravens.
The problem is you can use that same logic and apply it to the Chiefs. The Chiefs are 1-2 as well. They need a statement win, and a big win would be over the Ravens. And it's hard for me to say, you know, this is not going to be a close game because, you know, the Chiefs played the Eagles really closely. You know, that was a very tight game. Eagles won it 20-17. So, you know, the correlating factor is that the Chiefs' defense has been very good. We have been saying that all season long. So the Chiefs are going to have a chance to win this game. And here's the problem. If you do not believe in Lamar Jackson, or hell, even this defense in big games and tight ones, I think it's going to be a tight game. So I think I'd be with you in leaning towards the Ravens, but I don't feel good about it. Like, I thought about playing a total in this game because you say to yourself, okay, you know, the Ravens have played an absolute shootout. And you look at their offensive personnel, and it feels like no matter what the defense brings, they're going to get some big chunk plays, and they score really quickly. And people are even pegging this on the defense and saying it's really hard for the defense to succeed when the Ravens score so quickly. But I don't know. If anybody can slow down this Ravens offensive attack, it's this Chiefs defense that did just that to the Eagles.
I'm going to lean Ravens here. What do you think about Bears, Raiders? Bears are laying a point. It's minus 110 both sides. Total set at 47 and a hook. I like Chicago here.
I think I do too, but I don't feel great about it. Because, I mean, can't you just see the Bears, like, imploding? Like, I think that's the problem. Where the offensive talent is there, and Caleb Williams has shown flashes, and it does feel like Ben Johnson, you know, has gotten to a point where it feels like the offense, you know, is at least running at a good point. But I don't know. It's not a team that I want to put my money on.
Yeah.
This is supposed to be a tight game. But again, I don't really trust the Raiders either. So I feel like in this instance, I am not trusting either of these teams with my money, so I won't.
I like the Bears here. I take the Bears on the money line. I know everyone's been on Ashton Jeanty for not performing this season, but I'm telling you, after watching the Raiders up close and personal last weekend, that offensive line of theirs is straight garbage. Like, he has nowhere to go. Like, I know he hasn't been great in pass pro, and he's still learning the game, and the coaches will tell you as much, but my God, the Commanders were all over Geno Smith. He had no time at all. Ashton Jeanty would do everything he could to pick up a yard, if that. And I feel like Caleb Williams maybe turned a corner last week. This is essentially a rookie year for him under Ben Johnson, learning that offense again. Cowboys secondary is not great, but Caleb, probably his best game as a pro last week. I'm not sold on Raiders after what I saw against the Commanders, so give me the Bears straight up on the money line. Finally, Sunday Night Football, Packers, the Cowboys. Oh, the Micah Parsons revenge game. The Packers are laying 7, total is 47.5. I feel like this is kind of a square play, but I got to take the Packers here. They're the better team, a little banged up offensively, but don't you know that Micah Parsons is just going to be, he's going to attach himself to Dak Prescott's back like all game. He's not going anywhere. I think it could be pretty ugly. You can still find this at 6.5 in some places.
Right, and the main thing is that playing the Cowboys' defense has been a get-right spot for just about every offense in the NFL, even bad ones. So this is a good Packers offense that I feel like has a field day against this Cowboys defense. Meanwhile, the Cowboys are going to be without CeeDee Lamb, their number one target. Yeah. So it just feels like one of those huge mismatch games. And if there's ever a wonder if a team's going to run up the score, I think the Packers will choose to run up the score if they can. And I do think that's the case. So I will lay the 7 with the Packers.
If they have to put in Micah Parsons at quarterback to run up the score, they will. They'll do whatever it takes. Also, I wanted Matthew Golden's receiving prop because you can go deep on Dallas, as we know, and he's a great deep threat, has such great speed. But that number already moved from 36.5 to 40.5. So I don't want to play it now. Yeah, it moves so quickly. So if you like a prop in the NFL, you got to jump on him quick because 4 yards is a lot in pro football, so now I have to avoid that bet. Coming up next year on the show, time to check out the top 25 slate in the college game with a monster matchup set for Saturday night, Penn State and Oregon. Hour 2 coming up next on the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.